The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Super upbeat for Thanksgiving Friday in the NFL. Know.
Yeah, it's got to be upbeat because some of those games were good. Some of those games were like, oh, goddamn, stinky. But
well, the Friday games here, two of the games were quite poor. Well, poor by certain teams. But the Cowboys Raiders game was interesting.
Yeah, sure it is. So week 12 of the NFL scores, I'll run through them. The Bears beat the Lions 16-14. The Raiders
beat... There was a few torturous games this week.
Oh, my God. They beat the Cowboys in OT 36-33. The Bills beat your Saints 31-6, pretty convincingly, to be completely honest. Bengals smoked the Steelers 41-10. Probably for me the funnest game of this week, the Bucks beating the Colts 38-31. I quite like that game.
That was awesome. Colts gave Tampa everything they could handle.
Yeah, which is very interesting for them going forward. The Dolphins just on a roll, four straight now. 33-10. Oh my God, I don't know what's
No loss November.
The Pats, now they're going strong in the AFC, 36-13. The Giants beating the Eagles 13-7. The Falcons, Falcons beating the Jags 21-14. Here's all the stinky games coming, by the way. The Jets beating the Texans 21-14. God damn. The Broncos beat the Chargers. God, the Chargers. Anyway, 28-13.
And the Broncos, I can't work either of them out.
No, the Broncos have sort of flipped the switch again now as well. Something's going on there. The Packers beating the Rams 36-28. The Niners beating the Vikings 34-26. The Raiders beating the Browns in the ugliest game I've seen in a long time, 16-10. We are not spending than 4 minutes on that game. And the Washington football team beating the Seattle Seahawks 17-15. We might as well go straight back up to the Thanksgiving games. Firstly, the Bears, it felt like the Bears, you know, after their sort of red hot first half, they did what they had to do to win this game.
No, that's right. You don't want to let the plucky Lions, you know, get up in your grill and try and steal a win. But look, Jared Goff, and even in this, Jared Goff had a pretty hot start to this game. You know, he was 13-for-13 in the first half until he had his first incompletion. Fairly efficient. Only not completing four passes the whole game. The big one was the loss of DeAndre Swift early in the second quarter, and that really hurt. He done a shoulder. Not sure if he is going to miss some time going forward. I think there's a bit of conflicting reports whether or not he will be available next week. Purely on the fact that he'll get an extra two and a bit days of rest after this. So, he's obviously a real integral part of their offense going forward. To try and get that elusive win.
He is, but I'm also a big fan of Jamal Williams, that move from the Packers. I think that's
he stepped in perfect, didn't he? And that's what they got him for.
That's exactly what he did at Green Bay when Aaron Jones wasn't available. When they did all their two running back set plays.
He's a good hard nosed runner.
He's one of those ones that always sort of sneak. Well, you could sort of pick up on the waiver when you really need to. But the problem with him is you don't know when to pick him in certain games up until this week.
Oh no, that's right. But yeah, and in saying that too, like he, not so much he was forced out of Green Bay, but I think he's seen the writing on the wall with how they were trying to use AJ Dillon at the end of last year. And I don't think he sort of really had much of a choice but to move on from Green Bay. Didn't have to move very far, I guess. You know, I guess just across Lake Michigan and go across to Detroit. But yeah, it seems to be a good move for him. He is involved in a lot of their offensive plays as sort of a primary back. So, but yeah, look, yeah, Andy Dalton and the Bears. Darnell Mooney has appeared with another 100-yard game again. And what else really have they got in the offense except for Cole Kmet?
Well, that's exactly right, because Allen Robinson's just non-existent now, completely non-existent. Not that he was in this game.
When is he back? Like he's always on the injury report at the moment. It's always whether it's a game time decision or anything like that. So he's I don't sort of get what's happening there at the moment.
They like Darnell Mooney. He's 23. So he's still young.
They're involving him a lot.
His route running is pretty sharp. So yeah, I think he probably is already. I'd be surprised now. I don't know, he took the gamble of not taking a contract, Allen Robinson, and taking the franchise tag. That's probably, I guess, a little bit backfired now. He'll go to another team, but I don't think he's going to get the contract he thinks he wants.
No. Well, and possibly, unless he can sort of come back towards the, you know, what have we got, six games or so?
Yeah.
Six games left. So unless he can sort of come back and, you know, prove again, because it's essentially a what have you done for me lately league, especially when it comes to, you know, skill positions. And while you can sort of go off your reputation a little bit, but he needs to come back and he needs to prove that A, I'm healthy, and B, you know, look at what I can still do here.
So the Lions, this is their run home to see if they can win one game. The Vikings?
No.
Broncos?
No.
Cardinals?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Falcons?
Oof.
At Falcons?
Oh, I was going to say, if it was at Detroit, maybe. All right, that's a maybe.
You wouldn't normally, you'd say no, definitely no to this, but it's possible. The Seahawks?
Oh, that is definitely possible.
And then they're not going to win this last game, the Packers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unless the Packers completely rest everybody, because they don't need, you know, if there's a gap and they rest everybody, maybe, but
it depends on whether or not the Packers are playing for the first round bye, because they'll certainly be there.
It'll be between the Falcons. That's if they can. I just don't know. That's what I'm getting at. I don't know if they
look. We see the poor teams that are about at the moment, and that, you know, they all of a sudden they get it together for one game. To get that, you know, to get those wins, whether it's the Texans, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Jags,
exactly.
You know, they get it all together for at least one game, and I think that for the Lions was that game against Baltimore.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, I thought so. I mean,
they got hosed in it. They should have a win.
That should have been their win, unfortunately. Next game, the Raiders and Cowboys. I guess both at the first half, like just the ball was flying, they were both getting down the field really quick. It was fun. I mean, probably all throughout, but generally in the first half, it was fun because there was plenty of points going on.
No more quicker than DeSean Jackson with his, what was it, 68 yard catch. He didn't fumble at this time. He got into the open, field and got himself his first touchdown as a Raider. So,
that's what he's there for. Like career now.
Exactly.
Still can probably outrun most of the NFL, regardless of his age.
Well, and that's the thing too, you know, that they had two really good deep threats there in Hunter Renfro and Henry Ruggs. Well, you know, Henry Ruggs is obviously not there at the moment, so they needed to sort of, I guess, a plug-and-play type receiver that they could just put him in and work the same kind of scheme and routes as what Ruggs would have.
Well, and those two needed to step up too, because Darren Waller went down during the first half. He didn't end up coming back, so, and he's out this week, so this week coming. But the Raiders, this for me, for the reason we lost this game is in the Dallas Cowboys, was our goddamn defensive penalties. It wasn't even so much that it was happening, how much it was happening. It was always seemed to happening on the third down. God damn. It's like the fifth tackle in rugby league, and then you get a penalty on the fifth tackle. It's just, oh my God. It was, we were just inept with it. I was a questionable one, but the rest of it was just us, was our missteps, our pulling jerseys, just dumb penalties,
just dumb stuff. Like, but oh, flag. Was, but you talk about the ball flying. The flag was flying in this game. 28 total penalties on both sides, but 166 penalty yards against the Cowboys is just, it's in a close game like this is unforgivable. And when it, like you said, when it is just BS holding penalties and you know, maybe a false start here and there on offense, you can't give those away.
But this is what we were doing this. We were doing this last year. This was our biggest problem last year. It was the amount of penalties we were giving away. That's why I think we lost the game, because the Raiders were able to get down there easily enough. And
no, that's right.
You had Josh Jacobs, literally one TD was so easy. He just strolled. It was like a walk-in touchdown, where he literally walked in. Yeah, walk-in. Our penalties cost us. You know, Dak did try to keep us in the game, throwing for 375 yards.
But the problem is when you're behind like the Cowboys were, you've got no choice but to try and air the ball out You go away a little bit from your strength with Elliott and Pollard, in the run game, and they couldn't really sort of incorporate those in the game, because they started to get behind even early in the first half, and it's like, well, what do we do here? We've got to try. Yeah, they're trying to claw the game back. They're trying to make sure that this lead doesn't balloon out too far, and it became a bridge too far. The Zerline field goal.
Ah, well. That was the other thing. We missed one. He missed one as well. He missed that.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Point. That, the missing that extra point sort of cost us as well, because it's like anything. It's like a mind game when that happens. So.
Well, exactly. Well, yeah, Carlson was perfect, and Zerline missed a field goal and an extra point. And it's one of the oldest cliches in football. You've got to make your kicks. You just have to.
They're
so crucial, and it's extremely cutthroat, especially when it comes to kickers at the moment. If you're a mid table type kicker, and you're doing this, and you're missing field goals, you're missing point afters, you'll get cut. Like Greg Zerline.
Oh, it happens so often.
That's right. Yeah, you know, somebody like Greg Zerline, you think would be given a little bit of grace. You see what's happened to Mason Crosby at the moment. Like, he still has a job there at Green Bay. They trust him a lot, and he's going through a bit of a rough patch. But you know, he's been around the traps forever, so he's earned, you know, I guess that sort of right to have a little bit of a slump in form. You can just tell that he just does not want a part of any sort of kick at the moment, but they keep trotting him out there. You hope it's not a wake up call for him, but when you're in a hotly contested NFC and everyone's jockeying for position, there's only one bye. These are the kinds of games, especially against a Raiders team this is in your home building too. This is in Dallas. So this is a game you got to have.
Yeah. Yeah, we do, but we did have two wide receivers out as well. Two great wide receivers.
No, that's
receivers
right. Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
That can't, you know, that makes the part, but look, I think we'll get back on track. We should still win the division. I think getting a bye now is completely out of reach, which is fine, but we'll win the division. And just we need some momentum coming into the finals. That's really probably the key, is that they need that momentum 100%.
No, exactly.
Next game, do the Saints have any offense at all? I mean, I know that sounds like a blunt question.
Only when
but
it comes to the fourth quarter. They seemed totally inept to score or do anything in the first three quarters. And It just so happened that they scored again in the fourth quarter this week, albeit like two plays into the fourth quarter, and they were basically on the march, no pun intended, at the end of that third quarter. But this was this you need New Orleans to make plays defensively, because offensively they're not quite there at the moment. Obviously their top two running backs were out, no Ingram, no Kamara. So that was always going to hurt. Simeon was, it just takes so long to get into games. And when you're constantly at third and long, it makes it tough. And when you don't have a safety valve in Kamara to sort of, you know, take that little bit of pressure off, it makes it really, really tough for the Saints offensively, and you can't give this Bills offense any chances at all, and they took them with both hands.
So where are they? I probably haven't delved into it. Probably need to look at it next week. But where are they in terms of what they can spend or what they can go after in terms of next year? Because they really, I mean, except for Kamara, really, what do they have really?
Well, if they can continue on with Mark Ingram as sort of their secondary, their secondary back, that's not a terrible sort of way to keep going, and that's a formula that's worked for them in the past. Look, Ty Montgomery there, I think could sort of step up and be, you know, be a useful running back for them, but it's that their needs at the moment is a quarterback. The offense wasn't lighting the world on fire even with Jameis Winston there, but he wasn't turning the ball over, and they were getting enough done. The defense was playing pretty good, but defensively the Saints in the last three games have only had one takeaway, so that's sort of letting them down in games and not keeping them in the contest.
No, that's exactly right. I don't think they were going to win this game. As great as as great as their defense is.
Well, this is for the scary thing is four on the trot, four losses on the trot now for New Orleans. And
yeah,
I said it last week, the season is slipping away. This was always going to be a tough game. They've got the Cowboys next week. On a Friday for us, so that's going to be a tough game. That's in New Orleans as well, but that's another tough game. And if the Cowboys get semi healthy offensively, that's going to be a really tough game to try and win.
Yeah, because what's more concerning is, being where they're at the moment, they're hovering around that bottom area because their for and against isn't great. So, you know,
no,
and
that's right. They're getting blown. And the only thing that's sort of keeping them in it, you know, for and against wise, is having explosive fourth quarters.
Because that's having, you know, two teams that we haven't talked up for the whole year in front of them, which is concerning, Atlanta and Carolina. Like, it's just, you know.
Oh, in the division, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
There are bottom. Yeah, bottom
of course.
NFC playoff teams that are playing a lot better at the moment than what New Orleans is. Look, Taysom Hill wasn't available. He was available for this game, but only as an emergency. He was dealing with a heel problem, so they couldn't sort of get any of those gadget plays when it comes to what he does as well. So that sort of that tends to throw defenses off a little bit.
Yeah.
When Taysom Hill comes into the game, look, they just they had a it was I think it was just after the 2 minute warning in the first half, they tried to pull out a fake punt. Mm-hmm. With the punter Gillikin, and it was horribly executed. A nice pass, but I think it was little Jordan Humphrey. I think that was the target, and it was just behind him. But that's got to be perfectly run. In practice, it was just that little bit behind him, and you're like, yeah, that's how this season is going at the moment.
Just his name, it's just hilarious. Little Jordan Humphrey,
yeah, exactly.
Come.
Like that's some groovy parents.
Next game, the Bengals smashing the Steelers, their division rival AFC North team. The great thing about the Bengals win is that Joe Burrow was obviously near perfect 2024, but he only had to throw 190 yards.
This was the Joe Mixon show.
Well, of course, that's another big reason, you know, why they won, and the kicking as well from Evan McPherson. So, it was the Joe Mixon show. Like he was smashing through that Steel City defense.
If he can, awesome. Look, if he can stay healthy. That Cincinnati are going to be a really dangerous team come playoffs.
Yes. Yes. I think because they've got him. They have obviously a great quarterback, but they also have a very, very deep wide receiver depth. So, you know, and CJ Uzma, who, you know, not great in this game, but he's been pretty good during the year. So
yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's been a pretty reliable tight end. They could be very for them this year.
I did think, and we've talked about it through the year as well. Their defense is good, so they will be very disruptive.
You wouldn't want to see them lining up against you in that playoff bracket. If they don't win the division, them lining up as a wild card team against a division winner, I don't think too many division winners will want to see them in their part of the bracket. At all.
No, I don't think so. This also, you know, while Mixon was unbelievable in this game, Najee Harris was I guess uncharacteristically quiet sort of game. You know, only 23
probably,
yards.
Probably his poorest outing of the season.
I think so. Yeah. It wasn't that great at all. So they really didn't have that at the start. Ben, you know, threw the ball where he sort of could, got a couple of deep ones. I think Chase was the deepest at 41 yards, but I think it was just too hard to sort of it was too hard of a climb, especially after that first half. They were, you know, it was 31-3 in the first half.
They just got blitzed in the first half, and that's half of it too. When you're getting hammered in the first half, then it's like we've got to try and claw this back. We need to save as much clock as humanly possible, and you go away from the run game, and that sort of forces the hand of Tomlin and Big Ben to. Yeah, to try and get Roethlisberger to throw a lot more, and at this point in his career, it's proving to be a little less successful than what it has in previous years. Like Deontay Johnson was going pretty well as the leading receiver, for Pittsburgh for most of this year.
Yeah. Definitely. I like Deontay Johnson. He's still a young. He's 25. They've got a great core. It's just unfortunately, and I honestly think there's also whispers and rumors. I think this is going to be his last season, Big Ben.
Oh, I don't think there was any secret about that, was there? He was just trying to get through. This was the final year in his contract. He wanted to honor it. Whether or not, I think I'd heard the other day. I think it might have been on Get Up Ryan Clark, who is a former Steeler himself and a former teammate of Big Ben. He's calling for the benching of Big Ben. He's like, it's hard to bench a legend, but as long as he's not hurting the team, and it's kind of pointing in the direction of Roethlisberger's hurting the team. The only problem with that is if they don't want to see what they have in Haskins, then Mason Rudolph hurts your team. Like, what do they do? That's the problem there.
Yeah.
You're better off having Big Ben in there, because I would be a lot more trusting in him than what I would be with Mason Rudolph.
Oh, of course.
And if Haskins is healthy scratches, then throw him out there.
Yeah. 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 Why not? What do you got to lose?
If the season is slipping away in a hotly contested AFC North, and even them at 5-5, you can't really sort of, well, 5-5-1, you can't really say that they're out of the race, and that's a testament to the club itself. But I think it's time, maybe in the next couple of weeks, to see what Haskins has got, because we know what Mason Rudolph's got, and it ain't much.
But that's the thing. If it is Ben's last season, then they're probably just not going to bench him. That's
right. They've got to find out, and they've got to stick with it.
But you have to do it now. You're not going to do it in the last couple of games if it is his last, because of the whole nostalgia thing.
I still think that they can make the playoffs. And then what? And then what happens? Like an unlikely Super Bowl run? Like they've got to be realistic. They've got to be realistic here.
Exactly.
Like nothing has shown me that they're going to sort of all of a sudden find form.
Of course not.
And any sort of hot form to try and knock off some of these top AFC teams, like, because these top AFC teams at the moment are in red hot form.
Bucks beating the Colts. It was a pretty entertaining game right up until the end.
Exactly. Even till essentially the final play of this, it was a Indianapolis sort of come out and tried to air the ball out a little bit, and I guess go away from their strength in Jonathan Taylor. But I guess that's a Todd Bowles defense, who's the defensive coordinator for the Bucks. He's sort of in the Belichick mold of, we'll just take away what your strength is. And it was really hard for Jonathan Taylor to run the ball in that first half, especially in that first half. I think Taylor had like 26 yards in the first half of rushing offense. And they were going to, Carson Wentz to try to air this ball out. And that's how and it was working to a certain extent.
For a little bit, and then I just thought, it was for a little bit, and then I was more shocked that Michael Pittman wasn't put more into this game, although he probably dropped the ball a lot more. He was covered.
He had some really poor drops in this game. Like that didn't help at all. Like when you're going up against this Tampa defense, and especially at the moment they're getting a lot better. They're starting to find some form. So that's a scary thing for the rest of the NFC, a la what happened last year. Not so much whether the ball was sort of forced there. They do have that secondary threat now with T.Y. Hilton sort of back as well. So I think they need to get the right balance between those two to try and free up Pittman a little bit more, because, what's T.Y. Hilton, 30? 31, 32 years old. So not that say that he can't still be an effective receiver, but Pittman is going to be your go-to guy. But they need to, I think it's a matter of trying not to force the ball to him. You've got to take what is given by the defense. And it sort of went that late, went that way a little bit, but the game plan, it looked from the outset, was to try and air this ball out for Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, I mean, it tried to, and then you should have kept going towards the end. They started going to Jonathan Taylor, which they should have.
No, that's right.
Because
in that fourth quarter drive that they had, it was basically that whole drive was Jonathan Taylor. He had 58 yards on that one drive that they had to start off the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right.
Things were starting to get cooking for him, but you know, no more evident on the other side of the ball with Tampa. And boy, didn't playoff Lenny make an early appearance?
He did. He really did. 3 touchdowns, 100 yards, 31 yards receiving. Then he went to his old boy Gronk as well, who got over 100 yards.
Oh man, like just. It's such a different looking offense when Gronk's there, he's healthy, incorporate him a lot, and it sort of sucks, especially like, you know, I guess sort of fantasy wise if you have someone like Godwin, or Mike Evans. But he just doesn't have that rapport like he does with Gronkowski, and the same sort of things happened last year throughout that playoff run and everything. It's the chemistry there. He knows he can trust him. Why wouldn't he keep going to that well? Because it's.
And Tom doesn't care. Tom doesn't care about fantasy. All he cares about is winning. So
no, that's right. All he cares about is jewelry.
Dolphins beating the Panthers 33-10. This was pretty evident that. You know, nostalgia aside, Cam Newton, to me, honestly, is effectively done. At least as a starting quarterback.
I told you.
Oh, I knew. It was a whole nostalgia thing and everyone was going, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no,
All I said was what happens if he starts to look like the Cam Newton of last year at New England. And this game was extremely evident that it looks so bad. Like he had an absolute cannon of an arm back in the day. I do not know what has happened to it at the moment, but you can see the effort and it just looks like he's trying to create velocity rather than the velocity just being there on the ball. Like you look at it with quarterbacks with big arms, like, you know, like Josh Allen or, you know, somebody along those lines, even Dak Prescott. Guys that have got fairly decent arms, and it just looks like Newton is trying to put absolutely every single ounce of strength behind it to try and get that velocity, and it takes away from his accuracy. You see it at the moment with the progression of quarterbacks and how quickly it can happen, and the display of mechanics, and they actually did that like a mechanics display on Josh Allen throughout that that Thanksgiving game with against the Saints, how they sort of put it in quadrants of how he was throwing when he first come out of Wyoming and how sort of out of control his body was, and now he's nice and still and still has an absolute rocket of an arm.
I found it funny. So, you know, I guess the Tua was very accurate in this game. Tua's starting to play well and you know, clearly has that chemistry with Jalen Waddle, who, you know, of course, obviously back in the, you know, that was like one of the, that was one reason why he was drafted so high, Jalen Waddle. He was one of the three pairings that the quarterback wide receivers happened in this draft. But I find it funny for the fact of Deshaun Watson, to me, I don't think that Miami has to worry about it. If he's going to go anywhere, I've looked through each team. I think it would make sense purely for the Panthers because they have some weapons enough. And he can sort of, you know, he can do a damage with McCaffrey and DJ Moore. That, you know, it would not make sense for him to go to the Dolphins anymore, personally. I'm not digressing into Deshaun Watson if he's going to play again, but
no, exactly. Look, I think there probably are a few teams that are out there that could definitely use the likes of Deshaun Watson, but like you said, that's a team at the moment. You know, whether or not they believe in PJ Walker, if they want to sort of go down that route, Cam was essentially benched.
PJ got sacked big time in this game.
Oh, yeah. He got destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, what did he play? The fourth quarter? And he was, man. And that's the thing. See, and that's where you can sort of say, too, like, this wasn't all on Cam. Because when you have poor offensive line play, it cuts down your time in the pocket. And that was no more evident than when PJ Walker come in. Pretty much the exact same thing was happening, except he wasn't getting rid of the ball quick enough, and he was just getting hammered.
Big time.
Unfortunately for Panthers fans, with Christian McCaffrey leaving the game, seen leaving the game in a moon boot. Unfortunately, you know, I'll put it up on our Facebook page, an all too familiar sight for the Carolina Panthers, and it's a possibility that his season could be done with this ankle injury.
I think it is done, to be completely honest. He's just a run of those. Unfortunately, as phenomenal as he is, he's just a run of the litany of running backs that are getting injured this year. You know,
his health has come into question over the last few years. He just doesn't be able to, and it's a slew of injuries. It's not really the same sort of reoccurring one. It just seems to be different things.
Yeah, it is. Titans and Pats. The Pats, you know, the AFC leaders. I know, crazy,
just,
isn't it?
You know, enough Belichick, enough. Like, you know, we get it, we understand. But and look, you know, like we had a little bit of fun, I guess, with this game as well. Six wins on the trot now for New England, and you know, pretty much look like the hottest team in the AFC. Where they, I guess, like we've been talking about it as, you know, as we've gone on this year, how much more comfortable Mac Jones has looked in this offense. I've threw for over 300 yards in this game, which is a testament. They're pretty much running back by committee, so they're doing really well in that regards. Their defense is as overwhelming as a defense can be. At this point in time, they're getting a good wide spread out of their wide receivers, out of their receiving core, which doesn't really have a superstar name on it. Like I said, defensively, getting the job done against a Tennessee side that's on the slump at the moment, and I call that as well.
Yeah, no, you did definitely call that.
Tannehill was rotten in this game.
I mean, I don't know. It's still going to be tricky to see if they'll win this division out of the Colts. You never know. There's still plenty of weeks left. But yeah, Tannehill was 100% rotten in this game. He was.
I think the Colts really would have loved to have won last week against Tampa.
Would have set them up beautifully.
That would have put them right in the mix. Like, they're only two games behind Tennessee. With divisional games coming up, so that division is ripe for the picking. Yeah. And if Tennessee just keep on this slippery slope, that they're in big trouble. No AJ Brown. I don't know if that's for the foreseeable future. It's tough.
I don't know. They're not going to rush him back, but if not him, the king I'm talking about. If it is end up being January that he comes back, oh man, like they can't wait. I mean, you don't want to rush him back, but God, they can't wait soon enough to get him back.
But they're also running back by committee at the moment too. You know, Hillard and Foreman both went over 100 yards this game.
Yeah, true.
The touchdown score by Hiller, that 68-yard run, like that's a massive chunk of his 131 yards on 12 rushes. But even if you take that away, you know, 11 rushes for you know, essentially 60 odd yards anyway. That's 6 yards a carry, and that's pretty good. You know, in limited work. You know, Deontay Foreman had 19 rushes for just over 100 yards, 109 yards.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
They're getting the job done on the ground. It's just who is Tannehill looking for in the receiving game? And there's not a whole lot of names that are jumping out at you.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, I'd be interested to see if they're ruining now the whole. Well, you don't know who's going to get injured, but the whole Julio Jones trade.
So. Well, I guess they thought that they would be able to extract, you know, a little, you know, a lot more out of him, and it's continued a worrying trend for Julio Jones over the last 2 years that he's been hurt.
And the Pats are just doing what they literally were doing with Brady. Everybody's getting a touch of the ball, you know,
and they're
grinding at the wins. There's no, you know, it's a classic Belichick, Bill Belichick not liking fantasy. Again, he don't care. He just wants wins. So I'm sick of the Pats, like everybody. I don't want them to
but
be.
But the thing is, too, that they're not just creating turnovers with interceptions as well. They're forcing fumbles. They're.
It's their defense that I would like. Their defense is unbelievable. It, you know, Devin McCourty was their whole defense is brilliant, and we keep saying him every year, nearly every week. But Matt Judon, like the whole, he got a sack. He, you know, he hit the court. God, he's disruptive. Yeah, they're just unfortunately a well drilled unit. I say unfortunately because like everybody, I'm like probably sick of seeing the Pats.
No, that's right.
In these good teams, in this good form. Next three games will be pretty quick because they're the tire fire games. so we won't bore you down with these ones. But the Giants beating the Eagles, in, you know, I guess they weren't calling it this, but it was like Michael Strahan retirement jersey day.
Yeah, that's right. It was too.
So, you know, obviously they would have been a little bit buoyed by that. But God, this was.
Yeah, this was a stink fest.
Everything about this game. There wasn't you know, the running game. Jalen Hurts, you know, 77 yards. There was no passing game from both of them. Daniel Jones is effectively, to me, you know, I don't see the future for him at quarterback.
I mean, he will get a job, whether it's as a starter or as a backup. He will continue to be employed. And for the foreseeable future, whether it's at the New York Giants or whether it's somewhere else. But yeah, as we sort of, you know, not so much deep dive into this game, but when it's a close game like this, you know, crucial plays and crucial calls come into it. You know, the Philly were, how they were totally inept offensively against this Giants defense, I'll have no idea. I really don't know what was happening there. Inside the final 2 minutes, you know, on a drive where Philadelphia looked like they were moving the ball really well, Boston Scott drops the ball. Yeah, gets a forced fumble on him. He loses it. That essentially sort of kills the game. Now, the Giants go 3-and-out. Philly has one last chance to basically go the full length of the field. And why did they constantly try to go to Jalen Reagor? He has been awful this year and particularly awful this month. And on their passing plays, they continued to try and force the ball to Reagor and he continually dropped it. It was insane. Yeah, what little hair I have left, I was tearing it out. It was unbelievable what they were trying to do. Why would you go away from your big gun top receiver in Devontae Smith? He was non-existent in this game. If you want him to be a big name player and a big game player, you have to try and get the ball to him. It was oh my God, it was maddening.
Not him, but they've made him non-existent this whole month, Devontae Smith. I don't know what's going on there.
He had the one good game a couple of weeks ago that really sort of, I think, would have buoyed everybody's spirits. But, He's gone back down to like it's a run heavy offense that they're dialing up at the moment for Philadelphia, but there's got to be ways to be able to get him.
Persisting with Riga too. Riga's just not a good player. I mean, it's simple.
He had a really good rookie year last year, but they just haven't been able to get him going this year. Like I said, he's had a particularly awful month, and they forced the ball to him like three times in that final drive, and they were all just it covered simple drops, and it's just like why are you continuing to go there?
I don't
clearly
know.
They thought they had a mismatch on defense, but it was complete and utter insanity.
Terrible game, which is fine by me because they're in NFC East. Game, the Falcons, you know, beating the Jags, it was a game that was just as ugly. Like it just was. Like, I mean, you know, Matt Ryan's been doing this year and just, you know, just can't seem. He only threw 29 times and only 19 were caught, so can't seem to get that accuracy again. And no. Trevor Lawrence is just throwing the ball everywhere, hoping someone will grab it, literally.
Well, he hasn't got much there either for people to be grabbing onto. So, look, whether it's scary, whether it's funny, Atlanta over the last couple of weeks have been pretty poor. It was sort of good to see them actually get going a little bit offensively in this game. They went 27 straight possessions with no touchdowns over the past 3 weeks. So, Cordarrelle Patterson had, I think he had a couple in the first half. Yeah. So that's, yeah, I guess that was a positive for them. A testament to Jacksonville, they were there or thereabouts towards the end of this game as well. And unfortunately, again, it comes down to execution by Trevor Lawrence.
And I think that's just it's fine.
It's just teething problems. There's a reason he went number one, and there's a reason why the Jags were the number one pick in the draft. So that's going to take time. So, you know, I don't think too many people out there are losing a whole lot of faith in Trevor Lawrence, but yeah, he definitely could.
No, but then my thing is that it'd be interesting to see, and we won't know till next year, if this Travis Etienne pick was going to be any good. You know, he got injured, but like that's still a high pick, really, at the end of the day for a running back.
No, so, that's right. But half of their problem is O-line giving Trevor Lawrence some time to find some receivers.
Exactly. So that's all right for next year because they'll be able to pick up an O-line player or 100.
Well, and there's an absolute plethora of them in next year's draft.
Jets getting a win over the Texans.
look, while this, I guess, the scores mirror from the last game. I'd sort of gone out on a limb and actually picked the Jets in this game. I was extremely worried in the first half when, you know, Houston were looking, you know, kind of good and moving the ball well. And then I guess Tyrod Taylor happened and that's where, look, he had a really good shot downfield to Brandon Cooks for the touchdown, which was quite impressive, but this was a bit of a defensive battle. Like they combined, both quarterbacks were sacked 9 times. So the offensive line was breaking down quite frequently, and both teams' quarterback were sort of getting a little bit pumped, Zach Wilson was back now for the Jets, which I guess is a bit of a positive for them. Tevin Coleman has all of a sudden started to make an appearance as a lead running back while Carter is out for the Jets, which is one of the reasons why they would have picked him up throughout the offseason from, I think it was at San Francisco the year before, and part of that running back by committee there. some nice catches, I think, by Elijah Moore, who looks like, who's proving to be quite a good pickup for the Jets. But this game could have been better, but you know, I guess an all right game, yeah, especially
an all right game
for two, yeah, I guess, sort of cellar dwellers.
Yeah. Look, it was better than the last two. I'll put that out.
That's right. I thought this game was quite intriguing. Coming into it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's still, they probably have offensive line issues too, the Jets. Zach Wilson looks okay, but again, same sort of thing as Trevor Lawrence, not getting enough time to air the ball out.
No, so, I think he's got a little bit better receivers than the Jags
do. He's just got no protection.
No, that's right, and he's sort of scrambling around a lot, which I think he does a little bit better job than what Trevor Lawrence does in that, because Trevor Lawrence at Clemson had the best of both worlds. He had a good offense, had a good defense, and he wasn't really required to scramble out of the pocket and much unless he was on a designed run play. Whereas Zach Wilson at BYU, that they didn't have the best of both worlds, and he's quite a good scrambler. Once the pocket breaks down and he gets out of there. So he had a nice rushing touchdown as well in this game, and was quite composed towards the end of that game to get them that field goal to sort of push them out to that touchdown, that touchdown margin, that 7 points, to really put the pressure on Tyrod Taylor at the end of that game, and they just couldn't quite get it done.
Did Broncos surprise you winning their game over the Chargers?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it's I still can't pick the Chargers.
Pick the Broncos.
Well, that's a good point. That's probably the other good way. They've got, you know, Melvin Gordon's still good. And they picked up Javonte Williams. So that they could do a sneaky similar thing to what the Browns doing with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But then the thing with it's they still possibly need a quarterback there, because you mentioned it last week, they re-signed Courtland Sutton, they re-signed Tim Patrick, you've got Jerry Jeudy on a rookie scale contract, and you've got Noah Fant. So good to have the run game, but
offense really shouldn't be a problem with and not to say that Teddy Bridgewater's not a competent quarterback, but he's very much a dink and dunk kind of guy. He doesn't really air the ball out that much.
No, that's right. But they need, their team's pretty well rounded. Like, they're 6-5. They're pretty well rounded. It's just their quarterback. They got a well rounded defense. Yeah, it's just their quarterback.
No, and Justin Herbert has sort of, I mean, he just looks different this year. I don't know whether it's a change in scheme. Last week against Pittsburgh, he sort of killed them with his legs and the run game with Herbert. But this week, it didn't really sort of happen. A few nice design run plays for him. But yeah, that's right. And the run game for Denver was really good in trying to, I guess, just keep the and that's what a lot of teams are going into the plan or going into the game with against the Chargers, is just keep the ball away from Justin Herbert. And if you've got a fairly decent run game like the Broncos can put together, then that's the perfect game plan.
Yeah, I think so. He still can get, like, he still gets heaps of time to throw the balls, Justin Herbert. He got 303 yards.
No, it's right.
It's just I don't know really. I guess we don't really talk about their defense that much, because they have decent weapons. Like, Derwin James is brilliant, but he's only just come back this year too. So I don't know. They're a team that I thought would be a lot better than they are at the moment. But that division, that whole division, is one game apart. Honestly, anybody in that AFC West can win that division. Anybody.
They can at the moment. It's crazy. That's turning into a nightmare of a division as well.
oh, turning into a cool division. Like, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Like, you know, they're all, well, 3 are 6 and 5, and then Kansas City are 7 and 4. You predict Kansas will run away with it, but, you know, all three of those win and Kansas lose, then everybody's 7 and 5.
No, that's right. Just... Then everyone's sitting pretty, aren't they? So,
it's just an interesting division.
Chiefs have won 4 on the trot and recaptured a little bit of form, and scary part of that is confidence. And confidence for that team is bad news for the AFC.
It's bad news for the NFL. Team that, regardless of what happened in the offseason or any season that doesn't, or any time during this season, that's not lacking confidence is the Packers. Beating, you know, the Rams, who are on a little bit of a 3-game skid at the moment as well, 36-28.
Yeah, they're in a slump. This is the third, like you said, third loss in a row for the Rams, third week or the third game in a row where Stafford has thrown a pick six.
Yep.
So he's sort of, you know, he had a brilliant start to the year. You know, all the confidence in the world, all the fun in the world, like, oh my God, I'm so glad to, you know, to have shed that Detroit Lions jersey, and, you know, look at all the fun that I'm having at the moment now. And now he's getting a real reality check.
I think so. Yeah. He's getting a real reality check. He's not playing bad. But, you know, he's right. It's another interception again. He's not playing terrible, but I think maybe the expectation was he probably should be a little bit better, being that he's got so many weapons there.
No, so, that's right. And look, they were trying to be fairly bold offensively to start this game as well. You know, I think they were just outside the red zone and turned the ball over on downs, going for a 4th and 1. Green Bay sort of stuffed them early. AJ Dillon just bashed them up front most of this game. You know, they really went hard with AJ Dillon, and, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, I guess, just being Aaron Rodgers, he's starting to look fairly well. The thing that I've noticed as well is I don't think teams are fearing this Rams defense at the moment.
No.
Because they're going at them hard, and they've got, you know, on all three levels, you know, with Aaron Donald, now they've got Von Miller, and obviously Jalen Ramsey in the secondary. They've got, you know,
Pro all Bowl. All three levels.
That's right. Type caliber players. And it's just not bothering the top teams. They're just like, whatever. We're going to go at it. And that's not a good thing, because I think a lot of the part of why they do have such an overwhelming defense is the fear factor.
And a lot of teams, I feel like Aaron Donald, we haven't talked that much this year, because I think a lot of teams maybe have worked him out a little bit. I don't know.
Look, they double team him a shit ton.
Yeah.
He's probably the. I think it'd be Nick Bosa, the, you know, guys that draw the most double teams. Even someone like Cam Jordan gets a heap of double teams thrown at him. But it's not so much that it makes it effective, but that will gas you out over the course of a season. Not so much of a game, because he's just a machine. But over the course of a season, As you start to wear down, and if it continues to happen, then that will really take its toll on him, and they need to stop this skid very quickly, because besides the fact that they only had the ball time of possession for 20 minutes out of 60, that is just not going to. That's just not going to get it done.
Not going to cut it. No.
For it to be only an 8-point game, and they had a flurry of points in that fourth quarter to actually make the score look a little bit respectable. But yeah, Green Bay sort of spanked them from woe to go.
The 49ers seem to I don't know. Like, they win these weird games. Like, I think it's just weird because I thought we were both saying Vikings last week because, you know, they sort of have, they're that frisky team that can disrupt teams and then maybe make a little bit of a push. But with the Niners, I don't know. I mean, their run game was perfect in this. That is how they're built. Like, you know, Elijah Mitchell was awesome. And then we said it last week and he's done it again this week. You're not going to get Debo in the receiving. Let's put him in the rushing.
Is he not a former running back? So, you know, he's got those tendencies, which is kind of funny. But it's the perfect game plan, and
it's just kind of crazy, isn't it? Like Ayuk was terrible at the start of the year, and where they've sort of went, well, how do we get him more in the game? Let's move Debo into the rush, and Ayuk's playing pretty good.
And look, Ayuk as well had you know, all three of his catches were all very explosive.
Yeah.
You know, nearly 30 plus yards on each one. So that's getting the job done, so to speak, in that regard, you know, and keeping, you know, even Jimmy G was not his, you know, not at his best in this game. But yeah, it's all about the run.
They shut Minnesota's run game down.
Oh, absolutely. And look, you know, awesome. Dalvin Cook got hurt in the third quarter. Dislocated shoulder, possibly out for 2 to 3 weeks. Look, they have a nice plug and play type running back there in Madison that will step straight in, and that shouldn't really hurt them too much. But this was probably one of the games where you would not so much trust in what Kirk Cousins does, but trust in what Kirk Cousins has done this year, situationally, trying to get his team back into the game, and duck eggs on both sides of the field in the fourth quarter. Like, you know, the fourth quarter was pretty poor offensively. I thought Minnesota got hosed a little bit in one of the final drives that they had to actually work the ball up the field on an Adam Thielen catch that was ruled not a catch that he caught in his fingertips. I said it. That was so freaking frustrating to see that. And again, the constant pursuit for perfection by the NFL. Oh, there's this tiny little bobble. Oh, no, that's not a catch. It's like, get the hell out of here with that. It was. Yeah. You look at it. It's trying to dissect everything frame by frame. True. What is it, 1/16th of a second at a time? Of course you're going to see the ball move.
Oh, it's just what they do.
Look at it in real motion. It's a catch, and
it's what they do.
That killed the game for them because they basically had to, you know, they had to go for it, you know, on a fourth and goal, and they're only down 8, and they get stopped.
They definitely had a chance. I mean, little bobble aside, I thought it was good enough to
to be
counted as a catch. Exactly. Yeah, I thought the same thing. But I mean, the fourth quarter, like you said, was a bit of a duck egg. Really, at the end of the day, you thought
especially after the explosion of points in the third quarter, you're like, holy moly! Like, you know, this game could be a real, you know, second half shootout.
Yeah.
I think there was 32 points total scored in that third quarter, 20 odd by the 49ers. Yeah, they sort of really had an offensive explosion as that game went on. But then everything really tightened up in that fourth quarter, and yeah, both defenses really sort of clamped down, and just that one play, that's all it takes. Do you know what I mean? That one play, that one call the catch / non-catch, it really changes the game, and that changed the dynamic of that final drive by Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it was also it was good for Minnesota because I'm pretty sure before we move on, it was I think it was quicker for them to get to San Francisco Stadium than it was for San Francisco. Remember, I read somewhere.
Yeah, no, it probably is.
I think it was quicker.
Yeah, it probably is.
Oh my god, I love saying that. That's so far away from where they are. Oh my god, this game, Baltimore beating Cleveland was technically the primetime game.
But
this was the Sunday night. Lights are shining bright, prime time, and then they just dial up an absolute turd fest.
It just was ugly. Like there was no, the Browns had their bell cows there. There was no run game.
I couldn't believe that. Just zero run game at all by Cleveland. That's their strength.
Yeah. Baker's doing exactly what I thought he would be doing and not getting what he thinks he's going to get. Lamar was pretty uncharacteristically quiet. I mean, he was there, he did what he had to do to win this game, but he lost the game pretty much. He should have lost the game himself with those four interceptions.
Three first half interceptions and all three of them as a pocket passer. Just being standing still, three step drop back, five back step to. Drop back.
And he was doing this a couple of years ago, maybe last year. So at the start of this year, he was shoring it up and it was pretty good. But this game was just, I did not enjoy it.
Five total turnovers in the first half. You had your three interceptions by Lamar Jackson. You had, Jarvis Landry, they'd gone to the well a little bit, once too often last week. It was a nice Jarvis Landry scramble from the quarterback position to get a touchdown. This week they put him in the wildcat. It turns into a fumble. He gets caught. It turns into a fumble. Baker Mayfield had a fumble in the first half. So it was not pretty. It did start off rather well for Baltimore in the third quarter. That Andrews catch for a touchdown while Lamar Jackson was sort of scrambling out of the pocket backwards to his right, throws it across his body. And Andrews sort of had nobody on him in the end zone, but he had to come back a fair way to actually catch the ball was quite impressive. But if you could fast forward live sport, I would have been fast forwarding this game.
Completely agree. Oh. I completely agree. And the Tuesday game, Washington beating the Seahawks 17-15.
Look, this game had no right to come down to the final possession. It just looked that Washington, while they didn't score enough points, and that was clear, they were going to the ground game. Antonio Gibson had, 29 rushes in this game. So they were not so much trying to be conservative, but you want to do the same sort of thing as what you would do with the likes of Tom Brady and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Keep the ball away from them. So let's just hit the run game. The Seahawks, while they look good in the first quarter, even in the first half, you're just like, oh, okay, this is going to be a real tussle here. But just a wild end to that first half. There was an interception by Washington. Two plays later, there's a fumble by Seattle. Washington gets the ball back. There's a blocked PAT that goes for 2 points. So it ends up being 9-all at halftime. You're just like, what in the hell has gone on? After the Seattle fumble, I don't want to say the football team. I hate that. Washington.
Just say Washington's fine.
Washington scores a touchdown. They go for two. Yeah, and it's picked, and it goes 2 points the other way. It's like, what the hell? That's only the second time that's happened this year.
It was awesome.
What the hell am I watching here?
Yeah, I loved it. It was good.
It was crazy.
I got a question for you. What the hell is going on with DK Metcalf?
Boy, he's getting frustrated as hell.
What the hell?
At the moment. Not even a target until 4 minutes, 25 left in the third quarter. Not even a target.
And he only caught one out of four targets for a massive 13 yards. I don't get what's going on. It's been the whole year.
It's been very strange. Look, Seattle from the end of the second quarter until the start of the fourth quarter had five straight three and outs. So just constantly giving the ball back to Washington. Washington should have absolutely capitalized on all of that possession, and they didn't.
Well, that'd be the reason our boy Dixon, like, he amassed, so out of the eight kicks he did, he amassed 400 yards, which is awesome. That's just, he's so good.
That's well, they huge. Were buried so deep in their territory every time they were giving the ball away. He had the opportunity to get, you know, 50 plus on each punt.
Yeah. Each were nearly 50 plus. Yeah, it was, and three of those eight were in the 20. So, he's probably their shining light in this game.
He was their key player.
Oh my God, just this whole week was a bit of a, you know, one or two games, but across the board it was a bit of a stink fest for me at least.
They were lucky too that the Joey Sly hamstring injury, on Washington, the kickout didn't sort of come back to haunt them a little bit, because they had to go for the two-point conversions each time. They couldn't on one of their final drives.
They had no choice. On their
final drive, they had to continually go for it on fourth down because they got within field goal range, but they didn't have a kicker. So that sort of changes the dynamic of the game. They should have had a touchdown by Logan Thomas, which was taken away by, again, a little BS, bobble. Oh, my God, the ball's moving. We've got to take that away. I said it last week. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a freaking duck. That was a catch for a touchdown. That kills the game. It's all over. Now, Seattle gets the ball back. They don't get the touchdown. They have to go for it on fourth. They have to go for it on fourth and goal. They get stopped. So Seattle has to go, 96 yards? They proceed to go 96 yards. Like, Washington just let them run all over them, get these big plays, get them into the red zone, score a touchdown, miss the two-point conversion. So Washington is still up two. What does Seattle have to do? They have to go for an onside kick. They recover the onside kick, which is near impossible these days. Then the onside kick gets called back for an illegal formation.
It
was crazy. And the funny thing was, it's I can't think of who the Monday Night Football referee. They have on their call for them was basically explaining that they do it for safety reasons. They have to spread. You have to have five players on either side of the kicker. Now, three of those five that are on each side have to be outside the hash lines. The other two have to be inside the hash line and the numbers. The numbers and the hash line. So the hash line, as it runs up the field there, the one player for Seattle was about a foot inside the hash line. That's an illegal formation because they knew that the kick was going to go over to the left side. Yeah. They're trying to get an advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
And they nearly on the second onside kick, they nearly get it back again.
Can you just tell? I just don't get. So you know the whole Joey Sly thing, right? You've got a 53-man roster. You have a punter. So someone goes down and you just can't have anybody kick?
Exactly. It's crazy.
I do not get it.
What do those guys do at training, right? So your special teams guys, your kicker, your punter, your holder. Your punter is your holder. What do they do at training? Why can't they get them to even have a bit of a dig? You know, it's a chip shot 25 yarder. You're telling me they can't do it?
I guarantee there'd probably be 10 or 12 of players on that 53-man squad that probably kick in practice just to have a kick around.
They have to.
That just boggles me that you cannot have a kick and you have to go for 2 points.
That's the thing. They've got all that time of training, all that time. Yeah, all
I
that.
I don't get it.
I think you've got to be more than one dimensional in that regard.
It just doesn't make sense that you've got backups for everything else, but you don't have a backup for a kicker. Come on.
That's right. And you know, as you hate to say it, but they are one of the most important players that do come out, because 100%. a lot of games hinge on kicks.
If this was a divisional game, exactly. If this was a divisional game and it was as close as it was, and you know, you, of course you'd have a kick. It's just, yeah, I don't get it. So studs and duds of the week. If I start on the dud, my dud was his career high 4 interceptions in Lamar Jackson. I just hope he's not getting back into his old ways. That's all. I couldn't go past his 4 interceptions.
And like we said, three of those is as a pocket passer. So,
yeah.
Look, whether or not that was a game plan by Cleveland's defense to sort of, yeah, to keep him from scrambling out to stop those designed runs by Lamar Jackson. And even so, you know, we still had 17 carries in that game. So it probably didn't work out too well. That's pretty high. That's pretty high on the list. That game as a whole, like that first half was just, for a primetime game.
Oh, it was terrible.
Was horrible to watch.
Of course,
you know,
it was.
You've got the whole nation. You know, you've obviously got, you know, the world is watching NBC, and they're dishing up that rubbish. And look, you can't tell. You know, on paper, this has got the potential to be a good game. You can never tell when it's going to be a stink fest. But it just, oh man, like Mayfield, Baker's, he's broken.
Yeah, 100%.
He really is.
I know he's broken. I'm not physically,
not mentally, just physically. He's got so many ailments. Every time he drags himself up from the field, he's limping, he's holding his arm. You're just like, oh my God, I think they're just asking too much of him. And the coaching staff there, Stefanski, they've just got to sit down with him and just whether or not it's reassure him on his contract status, or just say, look, you are you hurting us going forward? Yeah, it's just not happening at the moment, and he's trying his ass off.
Yeah,
to try and help this team, and it's to his own detriment.
Yeah. Did you have a dud?
Look, just the first half of that primetime
game.
That was just, woof.
Well, that ties into Lamar. The stud for me was, I mean, there was a few decent ones, but only because I have always liked him, and, you know, and he has explosiveness, and he is a good player, and that was Joe Mixon. 2 TDs and 165 yards. He has that in his game. He's been, you know, the last few years it's been on and off in terms of injuries, but this year he's been extremely consistent.
That's right, exactly.
Which is great.
He's been healthy, he's been able to stay on the field. And that's a good thing.
Probably why the Bengals are where they are at the moment.
Well, it makes them not just a one dimensional team anymore. So, you know, that they can go to the ground if they need to. Look, while he was very high on the list for me, I couldn't go past Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. With
the 4 touchdowns, 3 on the ground, 1 through the air. He was spectacular. You know, Tampa's defense sort of really put, you know, a stranglehold on, I guess, the league's leading running back in Jonathan Taylor up until that fourth quarter, which was a really good game plan. And look, Joe Mixon is coming for that. You know, I'm the best running back in the league at the moment. He's coming into good form. Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and Jonathan Taylor are definitely, you know, sort of top 5 running backs at the moment. And Leonard Fournette's like, well, don't forget about me. I'll just proceed to put 4 touchdowns on. Yeah, not the 5 touchdown effort that Jonathan Taylor had the week before, but still, that's still very impressive for a running back to be getting, you know, to basically accrue every touchdown that Tampa had.
So you posed a question to me in a chat saying, have I got a WTF, without saying what the words are, team, NFL team this year, whether it be positive or negative? Once you sent that through to me, I actually sat down and I took a bit of time while I was drinking on the Gold Coast, of course, but
Because there was, then I was thinking like, oh, do I go negative and go like, it's not what I expected of this team? Do I go positive and go, oh, that, you know, that team's completely changing me? I don't know if you wanted me to go first, but
have at it.
Arizona Cardinals. I know it's not one team you sort of would think, but from, you know, and it's funny you mentioned Cliff Kingsbury. From when Kyler was drafted number one, their first year when he was drafted number one, they were 6-10. And then last year, he's only got drafted 2 years ago. This would be his third year now. Sorry.
And the year before that, they were like 1-16 and completely ruined Josh Rosen.
Exactly. And then even last year, they were 8-8. Now, theoretically, all they really picked up was J.J. Watt, who has been out injured. And AJ Green, who, you know,
he's been in and out of their, not so much their lineup, but in and out of their, you know, their target share.
You know who is changing this team, and this is why I went like what the F, because I think this guy's, I always like this guy, and I still don't know why they let him go. James Conner. He was top 10. He was a top 10 player, like only not last year, but the year before. He went back a little bit, but he wasn't the worst running back there. And they picked him up. At, you know, even with a young Chase Edmonds, they still picked him up. And I believe, look, they had a pretty well rounded. Cliff Kingsbury was also, you know, this was one of the years where they, you know, he had highest praise. He's young, but I think this is one of the years where if they didn't do it well this year, you know, they may start looking somewhere else. But I honestly think Connor's turned this. You know, you can say Kyler Murray. You really can't say D-Hop. He's been there when he's been there. You could say Kyler Murray, but
Kyler Murray hasn't been around for the last month.
I just think it's a well-rounded effort. I just think James Connor's completely got them. I don't know about you, but there's no way I had them at 9-2. No, not one.
Oh no, absolutely no way
that they were going to be 9-2.
Not in that division. You know that especially. Well, you said that how they've played the last couple of weeks, you know, with Colt McCoy, what are they, 2-1 with him? So, you know, to be able to still get the job done without Kyler Murray, and yeah, what did they start? Were they 7-0? I think they started off with they're 2-2 in the last four games, but
the only one that they dropped down, and that was because this is fairly close, was that Packers game, and then it was a, you know, slight sort of skid, but.
No, yeah. but they still had that's the game that Kyler Murray actually got hurt in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they only just lost by 3, so they just
no, that's right. And Green Bay had no right in winning that game with, you know, with everybody that was out with COVID.
Well, that's,
you know,
exactly,
no,
right.
Yeah, no receivers or anything for Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers just did Aaron Rodgers things, and then but that was the thing. And then the week after that, I think that I can't remember who they knocked off with Colt McCoy. Arizona, and you're like,
knocked off the 49ers pretty convincingly,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and you're just like, what is happening here?
Yeah, the one before a couple of weeks, the skid against Panthers wasn't great, but generally they've just been
that's right, yeah, exactly,
completely well rounded team, very, very well rounded, and you know, and their run-ins, you know, not too bad. They've got the Bears. The Rams will be, you know, they should beat the Bears. They should beat the Rams. They should beat the Lions. The Colts, we'll see. It's going to be that Cowboys one, the second last game. That'll probably be their biggest one, Cowboys-Cardinals.
Yeah, see, they've got a fair few sort of, yeah, divisional games that are out the way. So, it's you know, a fairly...
And a huge, even, you know, in a tough division as well. That's the other thing.
No, that's right. Yeah, there's a few divisions that are a nightmare. This is one of them, you know, for many reasons. But it's a complete effort as well, because they have been, you know, fairly good defensively as well. Like you said, you know, the pickup of JJ Watt, he's not playing at the moment, so he's doing what I guess he's done over the last few years. I'm pretty sure he played all 16 games last year for the first time in like 4 years. But he's hurt again this year. So, you know, he hasn't really been able to stay on the field over the past 5 years or so. But, yeah, look, they're becoming a really good sort of total package. And I guess, again, a scary thought for any team that's going to line up against them if they don't win. If they don't win the conference, if they don't have the best record in the conference, which is trending that way, but you know, you've also got Tampa, all four, divisional leaders at the moment all have a really, really good shot at getting that first week bye, and that's going to be really, really key, since there's only one bye this year for the playoffs and then three wildcard games.
That'll be the one for, I guess, for me, for Cowboys, of where we are as a team running into the finals, of how we go against, even if we lose, just how we go against Arizona in that second last game.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your WTF team so far this year?
I had so many. Oh my God, I had so many.
I delved into it and I could have, there's a lot of ways I could have went, but.
To me, it's another NFC team. It's the Vikings.
Interesting.
I cannot figure them out.
In what aspect can't you figure them out?
It's defensively. This is a fairly offensive driven league at the moment. So right. if you've got a fairly, even if you're a top 15, if you're in the top half of offensive totals, and Kirk Cousins only was he throwing 3 interceptions all year? When you're not turning the ball over like that, you've got a dynamic runner in Dalvin Cook. Granted, he's been in and out this year. You've got unbelievable receivers there in Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Defensively, their numbers don't really sort of jump off the chart. Like, they're a mid-range defensive team, even though, points differential, they're still in the positive, even though they're one game under 500. Mm-hmm. It's a fact of teams that you think that they should probably beat, they don't. And teams that you wouldn't think that they're going to beat, they do.
Yeah, they're a team where you get, and they're a terrible team to bet against, because you don't know.
You
don't know which Viking team's going to turn up. Realistically, you don't know. It's because of that reason, because they have all those weapons, at their disposal, and I don't know. This is last year for Kirk Cousins' contract too, so we don't know what's going to happen there next year. He could plug and play. He's still, to me, a quarterback one. I just don't know if it's going to be if they want to invest in it for this team.
Well, statistically, he's having his best.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
Best year.
That's exactly right. You're right. I think it's hard to figure out, and that's not so much
a negative or a positive. That's just one of those. Yeah, one of those teams at the moment where you're just like, man, you don't know what to expect from them. You could have gone down the lines of the Raiders or the Broncos as well, or even the Chargers. Three AFC teams all in the same division.
Or you could even go down the line of, because they had a great record last year with 10 wins in the Browns. That they were hotly tipped to win that division this year.
That's right.
Yeah, and they really haven't had a lot, Chubb's been a little bit, but overall hasn't been overly that bad for them. So, yeah, interesting. The Vikings, they're just so hard when I look at them.
It's head scratching.
When I look at them in the over and unders in games, I just go, I don't know which way to go.
So no, that's right. You don't want a bar of them. You just don't. even next week they could throw up an absolute this could be one of those games where is it an effort thing, and they're just like, oh right, the big games where we're not favored, we've got a chip in our shoulder, and we come out and we show what we're made of, and then the games where they're like, oh, this should be a nice cruisy game. And they come out and then their effort levels down. This is a trap game this week against Detroit.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That they could be a team where on their day, they could just go, well, you know, we can beat the Chiefs, and they'll beat the Chiefs. And then they could be on the day of, like, this week where they go, this week coming where they go, yeah, no, we'll be able to beat the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions pull it out. Yeah, you're right. It's just so, yeah, good point, fair point. Like that, but they had the same defensive frailties last year. I remember their coach coming out and saying that around January and said that their defense just sucks. I think he actually used that word, their defense sucks.
Ouch. So, yeah, that's rather scathing, isn't it?
Any little quick news just to finish it up?
Look, I thought that it was interesting to hear that Lincoln Riley, who is the Oklahoma University Sooners coach, has been coerced into moving to the West Coast and going to take the USC job. And that sort of sparked, I guess, a little bit of news. Well, you know, earlier in the year, I think it was a few weeks ago that there was not so much speculation, but, you know, Mike Tomlin was asked in a press conference if he was interested in the USC job, and he was just absolutely just flabbergasted at the disrespect that was thrown his way in them even contemplating or thinking that he would leave the Steelers and go coach college at USC. That's ludicrous. That was never going to happen. But now that this job is gone and the Sooners job has opened up, a former Big 12 coach in Cliff Kingsbury's name started to pop up. There's no chance in hell that he leaves a 9-3 Cardinals team with Kyler Murray that they really are all invested in. He's not going back to the Big 12.
But you hear both of them, right? And you just go, this to me, this is just college football teams that know that they have literally disposable funds to get these NFL coaches. That most likely will say no, but it's the thought that they can actually do that is what I'm getting at. Jesus Christ.
Well, and it also could be a little bit of his agent sort of trying to parlay, because I'm pretty sure his contract ends. Is his contract up at the end of this year?
Yeah. Oh, he'll.
Well, he'll get another deal. But usually when you're a highly coveted coach and you're a successful coach, the team would sort of maybe work things out a little bit earlier than what it is now. I think that's why the speculation is out there that Kingsbury could possibly return to the Big 12 at Oklahoma. But I've got a funny feeling that they might be one of the teams that's moving to the SEC in the next 4 years. So I think it was them
I'm pretty sure.
It's Oklahoma and Texas that are moving to the SEC, which is big, big trouble for them, I think, because the SEC is just a nightmare. Oh,
just
my
loaded.
God. Like it's a crazy conference. And now, these two teams are sort of just like, yeah, the hell with the Big 12, we're out of here.
Well, and college football is still fun. I love seeing it every so often. It's still fun games to watch.
I mean, it's good, obviously the big names that are out there you like to see, but
cool. Did you see any of that? The Auburn and Alabama Crimson Tide?
No.
Overtimes? My God.
Oh, that was nuts.
Oh my God. I think that's it, isn't it? Finishing up for this week.
Yeah, look, yeah, I guess that'll do it. Like, you know, there's been a little bit of news out there that nothing Kareem crazy. Hunt's dad sort of has come out and is blasting the Browns offense, you know, I guess on behalf of his son. But look, you don't want to just come out flatly, but I'll come out flatly and say that he probably should just keep his mouth shut, because he's very lucky that his son is employed.
Yeah, of course.
And that's all I'll say about that. You know, we know all the BS that he went through and why he was booted from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's very lucky to be employed, and he's very lucky that he is good at the game of football.
Exactly, I was about to say, because he was very quiet last year. He was good last year, and he started being good up until injured this year. So. There's no reason for him to say anything at all.
No, there's absolutely no reason to be coming out and yeah, and doing what he's doing. It's just like, yeah.
It's, you, what's you, interesting you is that it keeps happening. It was also Baker Mayfield's girlfriend that came out and said some similar stuff as well. So
no, that's, oh my god, like, yeah, they just,
I don't know. It's that's what I mean. Like,
put the ego in the pocket. You
they all need to just shut up and just let them play.
Yeah, put the ego in the pocket. Yes, yeah. They had a successful season last year with a playoff win for the first time in how long? Yeah. You know, a 10-6 season. This year they've been extremely underwhelming. Underwhelming. Yeah, defensively
still
they've been good.
Make the they still
got no. That's exactly. Division, but they're not having the big fanfare around their season. Yeah, and the big pats on the back and everything of that like they were getting last year. Exactly. It was an expectation this year.
Yeah, exactly. It was an expectation this year. Excellent. Well, that will do it for this week on our NFL pod. As always, socials are Twitter and Facebook. Facebook's, well, there's everything on Facebook. Obviously, our page with Final Play Podcast. There's also Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. Nick's Tips. I think, yeah, I'm getting that right now. On Facebook, and I mean the best way for us is when you're getting our pods is going on the links and then liking from the links, because then it sort of pushes them up more, especially on Spotify. Spotify, yeah, that's right. Is the key. So, and it's easy,
all about Spotify.
Spotify is good because you literally, once you hit the follow, they'll be downloaded weekly for you. They're ready to go. They're literally ready to go once we upload it. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, also check out gimco.com.au. I'm pretty sure there's a couple of NBA ones up at the moment that haven't been filled, and the latest NFL break is still up for grabs as well. So, yeah, check those guys out. We're in the community tab on gimco.com.au, G-I-M-K-O. But, yeah, also check out the group breaks as well. Yeah, everything that are sports cards fan could want, yeah, baseball, football, AFL, NBA, hockey, they've got it all.
Excellent. Well, my name's Jason. Oh, look, I can't, my team better beat your team this week, Smith. Come on, Cowboys, over the Saints. We need it more than you need it. We don't need to. We do.
No. Yeah, look, and I guess. Yeah, that's an intriguing game coming into the Thursday night / Friday game for us. So, yeah, look, we're in I'm Miles, we're in dire straits, Plum. It's trending towards that that Taysom Hill is going to get the starting nod for this game. Ooh. So, that's a good thing for your Dallas Cowboys, I think.
Of course it is.
I'm not sure what he's got, whether or not this is going to be a permanent move for the rest of the season. That's all I'm thinking of. It's like, righto, we've given Simeon a chop, and while he was impressive in his first start, he hasn't really been that great. Now we're going to hand it over, and you just hope that they persist, I guess, with Taysom Hill, just to see what they've got. You know, if he signed that funny contract, was it last week?
Yeah.
Where it's the potential to make a heap of money, and then
depending on what position he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Permanently, so it's not just that on that one week. It's on certain. You got to play so many games in that position. Yeah. It's a whole weird contract.
See, that could just be trying to, hey, we're going to start you for the next 6 games, and you're well on your way to actually earning that money.
We'll see. I'm not hopeful for you.
No, not really. I don't think he's accurate enough. I don't think. You take that surprise element away that he's had for the last few seasons, and you take that away. So, it's going to be very interesting to see what that game sort of dishes up as the early game this week. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, it could be one of those games where the Saints sort of spring something on you, but I very much doubt it.
All right. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See you.